Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there. And we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brits for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing very well, Diggs. How are you, mate?
Yes, doing okay. It feels like we've done this a few times now. It's this sort of like roundup of 2021. We had our Christmas episode, then we had our best of 2021. Now we've got death to 2021. So it feels very much like we keep just looking back on the year that's been. I'm feeling that kind of way you do at the end of the year where you've done Christmas, you've done New Year's, now you're just a bit like, you know?
Now you just... back on the treadmill.
Back
on the treadmill of life.
Got to do it all again. Fucking hell, another year of this shit. but you know, so I'm feeling good and positive because obviously we've just had a new Hugh Grant film out, which has been very exciting. Did you manage to... what were the circumstances in which you watched this?
Well, I spent Christmas with my girlfriend's family last year and this year because of COVID. Not just because of COVID. Of course, it's been absolutely lovely, but the circumstances have meant I have been with my girlfriend's family. And last year, we watched Death to 2020, which everyone enjoyed a lot. So when I said that there was a Death to 2021, everyone was well up for a, you know, dinner in front of the TV situation.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
Love that.
That's what we did last night. And I think everyone, you know, everyone had a good time. Everyone thought Hugh Grant was probably the best character, and we'll talk more about that. But how about yourself?
Yeah.
How did you watch it? Was it a Christmas thing? Or were you sort of doing your classic Hugh Grant watching where you sit in your bed and kind of curl up?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I managed this time to actually convince some of the extended family to watch it with me. Because last year, Death 2020, yeah, I think I watched that on my own. I was like, this thing with Hugh Grant, they were like, okay. But this year I was like, come on, it's the big thing on Netflix. Also, one of my sister's boyfriend was reading out some of the reviews from American watchers of the film. And they apparently, like, they hated it. Americans, absolutely, they were fuming. And a lot of them were fuming with Hugh Grant as well. So he was very, very interested to see it. So I thought, okay, well, here we go. Let's go for it. And so we all watched it, as a family.
Maybe that's because they think Hugh Grant is actually playing his real life character. And they don't realize that he's literally just playing a caricature of a historian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people were annoyed about how liberal it was, and then other people were annoyed, exactly like you said. They were like, Hugh Grant was really racist in this. It was awful. It was like, you don't really think Hugh Grant's a racist, do you? Do you really think that?
Well, I'm sure we'll get more into that about the kind of wokey liberal messaging that both this, and I don't know if you also caught Don't Look Up, the other Netflix movie, which is weird, isn't it? Because I feel like this Death to 2021 probably has got a lot of airtime because around Christmas, these days, it's not like you put on the box set or you watch Shrek on BBC One. You plug into Netflix and everyone's watching the same three things that are trending.
And what did you think of Don't Look Up? Because I've heard a lot of people talk about it and a lot of people said it's good.
It was good. I still quite haven't figured out what I think of it. It was a bit... it was similar to Death to 2021 in the sense that it had a very clear message That basically, if you're not vaccinated and you're a Trump supporter, you're a complete idiot, is fine. I mean, something that I might agree with, but I don't think if you were a Trump supporter or an unvaccinated person, I don't think you would view the film and think, I feel like I really want to come onto your side now. You just like, you know, more of this liberal bullshit is probably what you would think. But Leonardo DiCaprio was good. Jennifer Lawrence was good. It was such a good cast. Meryl Streep basically playing Donald Trump was reasonably amusing.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. Is it funny?
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like a mockumentary.
That's so weird. That is interesting.
It is weird because
in light of Death 2021.
Yeah, because I was watching the trailer and thinking, I'm not sure I really want to watch this because it looks a bit like trying to be funny, but it isn't that funny. But Jonah Hill also plays this ridiculous kind of he's the chief of staff, and he is just he's a funny character, and he plays Meryl Streep's son. So it's worth watching just for his portrayal of that character. Yeah. But I definitely think you'll be dividing opinion.
Exactly. And what about the last thing? Last thing we'll mention that isn't Hugh Grant stuff. Have you seen the other thing that everyone's talking about at the moment, which is what's it called? Spider-Man No Way Home.
Is that the new Spider-Man film?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it's called.
I haven't watched it, I have to say. Have you?
I have. And I have to say, like, usually I hate all these Marvel films and all that superhero stuff, right? It was amazing. Mm. It was so good. I wept the whole way through. I cried the whole way through. And one thing it's made me really excited for is like these like big blockbusters, like these sorts of things can be good. And this makes me even more excited for Hugh Grant's Dungeons and Dragons film, which I really hope is, if it's anything like this, it'll be great. But yeah, I did really enjoy it. So,
are you a Tom Holland fan?
I'm really not. I haven't seen a single thing that he's in. And also, he annoys me because I'm jealous of him. He's like this young...
He's
English
really annoying, isn't he?
He's done really well. The thing is, after seeing the film, I see interviews with him, I think, yeah, you're cool. And I like
you. No, when I watch an interview of him, I'm like, you're just a prick.
You're the worst. Yeah, that's how I did feel. And then I've watched Spider-Man, I've come away being like, oh, God, I love you. God damn it. Yeah, it's just another guy I love. Do you know what I do still hate, though? It's Benedict Cumberbatch. Hate that guy. He's in the Spider-Man film a lot. And like every scene he was in...
He's
like,
in everything at the moment.
He's in everything at the moment. You know who else in everything? Timothy Chalamet. And he's in Don't Look Up. And I realise I've never seen a single film with him in, even though I know horrendously who he is and what he's about. But I've never actually seen a full film with him in. So there you go.
Well, maybe we should get on and talk a bit about Hugh Grant. Are we got a synopsis from Synopsis Simon? I don't know.
Yes, we do have a synopsis from Synopsis Simon. Let's have a listen.
Death to 2021, created by Charlie Brooker, Ben Cordell and Annabelle Jones, and released on Netflix in December 2021. Following on from last year's Death to 2020, Death to 2021 has some new faces as well as some old ones, not least Hugh Grant reprising his role as history professor Tennyson Foss. The light Netflix special pokes fun at another roller coaster year, revisiting all the dread and occasional delight that 2021 had to offer.
So Diggs, Death to 2021, Hugh Grant back on our screens, absolutely love to see it. He's reprising his role of Tennyson Foss, which actually is, now I come to think of it, he doesn't reprise roles very often, does he? I mean, he reprises his role in Bridget Jones. But other than that, I can't think of any others. But what did you think of Hugh reprising his role of Tennyson Foss?
I did enjoy it. And to be honest, when this film started, I'll tell you one thing that really was already making me really happy about it, is the first shot or the first character we see in this is Tennyson Foss. And I was like, yes, they know what's up. Get him straight out there. And he looked... For me, he looked even older in this film. I know they make him up with the white hair and stuff and they give him all these, you know, like blemishes and things, but he looked even older in this. But I don't know, it looked right. He looked the part. It all fit there.
He was the most believable, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It was really believable. And just from the off, his voice was perfect. What he was saying was ridiculous and you know, awful and racist and stuff. But, you know, it was funny. And so, right, and I thought to myself, and again, maybe this is stretching it a bit, but from the off, I thought he was right in there, being really funny, straight on the character, looking great. And I think for me, like, I actually think overall his performance and his look and everything was even better than last time. And that might be similar to how I feel about him in Bridget Jones 2 as well. When he returns to the character, I'm like, fuck, it's even better this time.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a bit more time to kind of, for it to marinate and grow and develop. And I thought he was brilliant. And we'll get onto this a bit later, but I don't think that the sequel here was maybe quite as effective as the first one.
No.
Mainly because I thought only about half the characters were actually funny. But
yeah,
I think
yeah.
Hugh was... I mean, we're biased, obviously, but I actually think he was the strong point of this.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. My family, who aren't Hugh Grant enthusiasts in any way, not like us at all, they all said it. And they weren't, they're happy to tell me when, because I was saying that one of the characters that I liked was Diane Morgan, and they were all like, nah, she's shit. So there's no family, they're not just being nice to me. Mm. They're like, you know, I just agree with whatever I say. Like, they actually did think that Hugh Grant was great. So I think you're right.
Mm. I mean, Tennyson Foss, he is a pretty repulsive character. I mean, yeah. I wrote in my notes that he is sort of the voice of... He is the voice of the kind of anti-woke, conservative, spectator-reading boomers, basically, if you put it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think why the character is so good is that he is relatable in the sense... Not relatable in my own opinion, but he is relatable in the sense that we all kind of know probably... a grandpa, an uncle, a friend of a friend who does hold these views and is just sort of angry at the world. He's kind of they think that, you know, white people are the victims of the Black Lives Matter movement. They don't understand gender pronouns. They hate the royal family and think the press isn't racist. They, you know, they think that diversity is bullshit and, you know, you can't erase our history and knock down our statues. And I mean, It is encapsulated in one character and person, and I think he does a good job because we all and the jokes are such that you can really sort of you can hear that in people that you know, I think.
Definitely. And it's even what it reminds me in some ways of The Gentleman, in that in The Gentleman he was playing that like seedy reporter, you know, where and the fun there was obviously like Hugh has had his run-ins in the past with seedy reporters. In this, the fun as well is that Hugh is, you know, on the whole, a very liberal guy, like, you know, gives a lot to charity, really champions these causes like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. You know, definitely more on the liberal side than conservatives. He's trying in this country really hard to get our version of the Republicans out. So to have him play this like horrible backwards character, yeah, is just so unlike him in real life that it's just even great. It's just even sweeter. Mm. And I think he said before, and it really is showing, like he just loves playing the villain. And I think, you know, it's perfect. He just has so much more fun in the role. And then when you're watching, you have so much more fun as well. It's brilliant. It's great.
Well, you're listening to Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted on the radio.
Were there any bits from the movie or the documentary that you particularly enjoyed from Hugh Grant? I mean, he probably had four or five different snippets. He was interviewed for the bit about gender pronouns, the bit about Bridgerton, Meghan and Harry, spacecrafts, Jeff Bezos' spacecraft, and James Bond. I mean, were there any of those that stood out for you?
Oh, that's really tough. I definitely liked what he had to say about the gender pronouns. I thought that was funny. You know, where he was like,
oh, here we go. I expect you want to know my preferred pronouns. Well, I don't have any. I don't have any. I do not dance the wokey cokey, so you can call me whatever you like.
Oh, I was just checking whether we should put OBE after your name.
No, you should. You must, in fact.
That's the first joke.
Yeah, first joke, and I loved it. I was like, right, we're in with a banger. I mean, But what about... And of course, my mum was rolling her eyes at this point and she left the room, but the bit about Jeff Bezos flying a penis into space and Hugh Grant loving it, being like, that's what it's all about. Jeff Bezos having sex with the sky and how he loved it. And my mum was like, that's so obvious and horrible, and left. And I was like, I thought that was really funny. But obviously I enjoyed it because I'm a little bawdy bastard. But what about you? Were there any bits that you particularly liked?
I think I enjoyed the bit about Meghan and Harry and James Bond, because those are two sort of cultural references over the last year or two that have just got so many people angry for absolutely no reason.
With earth-shattering revelations.
I've never looked up my husband online. I just didn't feel a need to, because everything that I needed to know he was sharing with me, right?
It's hard to believe she didn't Google him. I mean, come on. You do that just to find the best fucking tacos near you. Never mind a husband.
This was the kind of ghastly spectacle that we've sadly come to expect from Prince Woke and the Duchess of Me, Me, Me. True royals do not make a spectacle of themselves. Look at the Queen. Is she running around going, look at me, look at me?
She travels in a golden carriage wearing a crown.
That is not showing off. That is pageantry. Traditional royal pageantry. What would you prefer? That she rides around on an electric scooter without any socks on? She is the Queen, and I believe she deserves our respect.
And then he goes on to say something about, like, James Bond, double woke severed, and the name's Bond, James Bond, he/him.
That was so funny.
That was good. I mean, it's just, like, it just nails down the fact that people hold so much importance to these things when... I don't know. Does it really matter? I don't know. It does matter, but it's just funny, isn't it?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. And in the context of everything else that's gone on that year, you know, we talked about obviously the continued thing with coronavirus. You talk about, you know, I guess more fires this time across America and Australia. You know, you had obviously the storming of the Capitol building, like shit going on everywhere. And yet the things that gets most people irate is, you know, the Duchess of Mimi and who's going to play James Bond next. It's just like, yeah, chill out. Yeah. One thing I didn't enjoy though about Hugh Grant, and maybe this is more about the film in general as well, is one thing I really didn't like last year in the Death of 2020 is some of the childish jokes that were in there.
Like the Harry Potter Game of Thrones rubbish. It's rubbish. No.
So essentially he goes, you know, he's meant to be a historian, and he's like, oh, in Death 2020, it was like, oh, you know, the coronavirus pandemic was essentially just like when the White Walkers came down and invested Westeros, and someone was like, oh, isn't that Game of Thrones? He's like, no, I'm a historian. And it was just like, that was really weird and shit and childish. And that was fine. I thought that was just Death 2020. And then this one, it comes in, and he starts talking about how, you know, the Battle of Hogwarts. And again, someone was like, is that really true? And he's like, yes, I'm a historian. And he was like, they doubled down. They did it again with some other random crap. And he was like, this is so unfunny. This really is the joke of an 8-year-old. And it's just so, like, it's just annoying, because you're like, this is a good character and there's good moments. But that is just, why has no one stopped and gone, guys, this is shit. Let's take this out.
Yeah, Diggs, they should have consulted us and brought us on as executive producers. And we would have.
Exactly.
But you do think, I completely agree with you. Like, there were a couple of jokes which did fall flat. And also not just with Hugh's character, there were other characters.
No, definitely.
I think they had a character who was meant to be kind of looking into the vaccines, and they kept on playing music behind him, and then he was like, stop the music. And they did that like four times, and every single time it wasn't funny and got, I don't think anyone who I was watching even like remotely like giggled.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was bad.
In some ways, I feel like this is slightly—it's a cobbled together last-minute thing. I don't think they spend like 8 months of the year editing and creating this documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were a few bits that were left wanting that were not particularly funny. But I mean, on the other hand, it did. In some ways, it was quite a sort of cathartic experience to just look back at the year in some ways, because you do think, crumbs, like, a lot of shit happened this year, like Afghanistan. I forgot about that. You forget about Squid Game, Prince Philip dying. You know, just a lot of stuff happened. And even if not all of it was laugh out loud funny, it was quite a nice experience. Just like looking back and thinking, blimey, we live in crazy times.
Yeah, yeah. What I did find a little bit disgusting, though, is the fact that, you know, I forgot that last year's was quite similar in this, and that they kind of half as well use it as a bit of an advert for their own programmes. They're like, everyone sat down and watch Bridgerton. And then it's like, and everyone also watched Squid Game. It's like, all these Netflix originals that have done really well. It's a bit, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. For fuck's sake. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I found it a bit rank, but to be fair, then they also talk about James Bond and stuff, which isn't there. So like, you're like, yeah, fair enough.
They're probably about to strike a deal exclusively with James Bond for his next five movies or something, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Those bastards.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
All right then, Oski Bear. Death to 2021. Are we taking Hugh for granted?
Just to start off, don't call me that ever again. That's what people when I was in like year seven used to call me, and it made me really upset.
Oh, no, really? I mean it so affectionately. I love Oski Bear. I think that's a lovely name.
That's giving me trauma. Anyway.
I've thrown you completely up.
Yeah.
No.
Are we taking Hugh for granted? Diggs, no, we're not taking Hugh for granted. It's just straight up for me. Even though the actual documentary and film wasn't brilliant, I think at the moment, after a few days, it's rated 6.4 on IMDb, which I think is about right. You know, it's a 3 out of 5 stars. It's nothing more than that. It's a good watch. You know, you got, like we said, you got time between Christmas and New Year. It's an hour of your time. Mm. Stick it on. It's great fun. But it's not going to win any awards. I think the reasons why we're not taking Hugh for granted, his makeup and costume is amazing.
Class.
His jokes are genuinely the funniest in the film.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said before, the most relatable to many young people who look at the boomer generation and think, Christ, you're all insane. Please, when are you going to die?
And I
think Hugh's own self-awareness about that I think is really fun as well, like he's so aware that he's probably got friends all around him and his own generation are all a bunch of fuddy-duddies, so I just love that kind of self-awareness in those jokes, and it's just a great bit of fun, and we know Hugh loves having fun and he's doing more and more of it in his later years, so for that reason it's not taking Hugh for granted. How about yourself?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, costume, like, and we've talked about some of his lines not being the best, but I think I said the exact same thing last year, even more so than in Death 2020. Hugh Grant does more with what he's given. He is the best of all the character actors on show in this film, and it's really great. So if you're a Hugh Grant fan, you have to watch it because he's having so much fun, and it just makes me glad, actually, just hearing you talk about that. You just made me think, I'm so glad. You know, yes, it's not the best film. Like you said, 3-star, absolute max. But I'm so glad these films exist because Tennyson Foss exists. Mm. And he is so funny. And Hugh Grant's portrayal of him is so great. So, actually, there's no way this film could be taken Hugh for granted because they've made the film, they've made the character, they've brought in Hugh Grant. He's the perfect guy for it, and it's so great. And it's actually really fun to watch that and watch Hugh like take the piss and have a really good time. And it does the same with us. So you're absolutely right.
Wouldn't Tennyson Foss be a great Halloween costume?
Yes, he's so weird. He's so weird with the white hair.
No one would. Like, no one know, would know who the hell you
They'd
were.
Have no idea. They had no idea. You'd have to do that. Do you know what? As well, I feel like in this one, he ramped up his like voice speech impediment because he sort of talks like this and sometimes blows his R's and things like that in this one. And I feel like he ramped that up a bit more in this one.
He did.
And I really, really enjoyed that. And so that's something you could do to add to the Halloween costume vibe. Just make sure you speak like that the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, just a quick word for the. I mean, we did say that, you know, Hugh. I think Hugh is a standout. In this film, I thought some of the other people who stars in this were a little disappointing, actually, in comparison. Like Lucy Liu, I didn't think she was great.
No.
I did think that Diane Morgan wasn't quite as good as last year. One person I did think was good, Tracy Ullman, who, of course, Hugh has teamed up with before in small time critics. I mean, I'm sure in this for this movie they weren't in the same room or anything, but still a nice little tidbit there for the
and
universe.
She was great.
She was very good. Madison, she could play Madison, the US kind of talk show Fox News host or whatever.
Yeah, that was really funny, and how, you know, at the end she refused to say whether she was vaccinated or not, despite telling people not to get the vaccine. That was all really good. Yeah, so that, you know, that's the thing. But like you said, it's like, if we're being kind, we'd say half the cast are good and half the cast are bad. But I don't even know if you could say quite half the cast were good, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, for us, it doesn't really matter. At least
it doesn't matter.
Our man was good, so that's all that counts.
That's the main thing. Well, there we go. Death to 2021. And what do you think, Oscar? Death to 2021? Would you prefer Death 2021 to be killed and left in the dust?
Maybe. Parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And I mean, do you know what? It is now, anyway. Exactly. 2022, baby.
Let's go.
Let's friggin' go. Right then. We'll be back in a few weeks with another episode of Taking You For Granted, which we're all very excited for. And then a little bit after that, we're going to have a new Hugh Grant film out. How bloody exciting. January 2022, we've got the Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre.
I mean, if there's nothing that gets you more excited for the new year than a new Hugh Grant film, then, I mean, you know, you may as well not be living.
Yeah, exactly.
You can stay in 2021.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And why have you listened this long to the episode? You must really just... If you don't love Hugh Grant that much, why... I mean, you must just love something else about the podcast. I don't know what that could be. Couldn't be us, could it? No way. Surely not. If you do love us and you want to take more of an interest in what we're up to in the behind the scenes and all that sort of stuff, follow us on Instagram at Taking Hugh For Granted, on Facebook, exactly the same, Taking Hugh For Granted, or on Twitter at Taking Hugh. I guess... We will see you guys then.
Yeah.
And there.
See ya.
Thanks so much, guys.
Happy
Bye.
New Year.
Taking Hugh For Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh For Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.